There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that...
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this, Tuesday, a week out from Election Day. I'm glad to have that coming up quickly because we're going to get to the real meat of it, too, with the runoff. For sure, for AL2, we'll talk more about that coming up in just the next couple weeks here. 1 week till primary day and then 6 weeks to the runoff, and then we'll be talking about that in depth as well. I'll get to your text here in just a second. Heads up, you know it's that time of year. This came off a great time at the boat show this last weekend down at the convention center. And look forward on your calendar. Pull the calendar out on your phone there and put this in. The 15th of March, Friday, starting the 15th of March, going through Sunday, the 17th of March, which, by the way, if I do that correctly, that's St. Patrick's Day, isn't it? The Wharf Boat Show. Coming up, and $100 million in boats and marine products on display, consistently the top boat buying show on the Northern Gulf Coast. And here's the deal. You've got 700 boats on trailers, right? Sport and console boats on trailers. And then in addition, 120 wet slip boats and yachts on display. I have a one of my children, my son, who loves the idea of, like, lower deck stuff. We have a cuddy cabin, right? So we have a cuddy cabin. It's a lower deck, but it ain't much, y'all. He said, man, can we go look at the big ones? I'm like, yes, we can't buy any of the big ones, but we can sure look at them. There's 120 on display at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. So not only the boats kind of in my realm that are on trailers, but those that they don't make a trailer for, those on display as well. Plus, you've got marine artist Larry Rackley's kids' art classes. Larry is fantastic. Have you seen his artwork before? There's a tuna painting he's done that one day I'll buy and put in my house. It's fantastic. But he not only is displaying his work, he can teach our kids to paint as well. That's going on. Exhibitor displays, instructional seminars, all that going on all 3 days at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show, starting Friday at 10 a.m. and going through Sunday at 4 p.m. Tickets, you can get those online by going to wharfboatshow.com. And we'll see you down there. We're going to be doing a live show from the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show coming up on Friday the 15th. So come see us down there. So South Baldwin folks will be there to say hello. All right, grab a few texts here at 343-0106, 343-0106. And somebody else texting in about the pipe bomb at the AG store. I think this is very big. I mean, the idea that it didn't go berserk in the news cycle, I think part of it is, part of it. Do I believe there's politics at play? Sure. Sure I do. But part of it is really just what Peter said is true. I mean, something hits on a Saturday morning. There's just not the coverage of it. But we're digging into it. I know that hopefully I will have... I've put emails out. Hopefully we'll have somebody from the AG's office, if not the AG, on when they can talk about this. The story here from 1819 News, an explosive device was detonated outside Alabama Attorney General's office in Montgomery over the weekend. Attorney General Marshall said in a statement yesterday, in the early hours of Saturday, February 24th, an explosive device was detonated outside the Alabama Attorney General's office building in Montgomery. Thankfully, no staff or personnel were injured in the explosion. The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency will be leading the investigation, and we're urging anyone with information to contact us immediately. The way I hear the description, a pipe bomb with nails, you got to figure there's cameras there, right? That's the next part I'm looking for is where, you know, if they're looking for information here, are they going to release video about this? But this is a bomb set outside the top of law enforcement in a state. This is, so it is a big deal. It is a big deal. And and they are reporting on it. WKRG reported on it this morning. We'll keep looking at this, and hopefully we can get some of the people. Right now, they're kind of, I think, tight-lipped. We're not going to get them to talk a whole bunch about it, but hopefully soon we'll have more information out on that. All right, more from the text line here. Yeah, well, here's another story, although I think this one is getting coverage as well on our station. So Sam T. says, Sean, have you spoke about how little time is given to the poor girl, nursing student? Some news just lists the scum as a resident of Athens, Georgia. What's wrong with the journalist or reporters? Don't know. What I've looked at here is I looked at Georgia news on that, Sam. So I've kind of looked at the local papers there and local television, their websites there, and they seem to be giving a better reporting maybe than some national sources. I'm sure Fox. I said, well, here it is from Fox. They talk about the illegal immigrant suspect charged in the Augusta University nursing student Lakin Riley's death in Athens, Georgia, is accused of disfiguring her skull, according to new information in the affidavit. Jose Antonio Ibarra is charged with felonies of malice, murder, kidnapping, false imprisonment, aggravated assault, aggravated battery, and concealing the death of another, as well as the misdemeanor of physically hindering a 911 call, according to an affidavit filed on February 23rd. According to new information added this week, Ibarra did commit the offense of aggravated battery when he maliciously caused bodily harm to another by seriously disfiguring her body or member thereof, disfiguring her skull. This is pretty macabre stuff here. For the felony offense of concealing the death of another, the arrest affidavit accuses Ibarra of dragging the victim to a secluded area. Law enforcement has not yet disclosed how Riley was killed, only that her death was caused by blunt force trauma. So that's some more of that out today. Of course, it brings up the bigger discussion of this person being in the country, right? So, yeah, there's a national angle to this. Immigration and Customs on Sunday confirmed Ibarra, a Venezuelan national, entered the U.S. illegally in 2022 and had previously been arrested in New York City. Fox News previously reported the 26-year-old Ibarra had crossed in the U.S. illegally near El Paso, Texas, in September of 2022 and was paroled into the United States. So there it is. It's one of these stories they're talking about daily down there, and here's a specific name. It said, in a statement to Fox News Digital, ICE confirmed that Ibarra had been encountered by Customs and Border Protection on September 8th, 2022, after entering near El Paso, and was, quote, paroled and released for further processing, end quote. ICE also said that Ibarra had been arrested by the New York Police Department a year later, September 14th, 2023, and, quote, charged with acting in a manner to injure a child of less than 17 and a motor vehicle license violation, end quote. I think that's the one where he had a child. He was like on a motorcycle or a moped or something doing deliveries and had the child on there. I think that, if I remember that correctly. ICE's statement said Ibarra was released before the detainer could be issued. New York City is also a sanctuary city, which restricts law enforcement from complying with ICE detainers. And then it says further down here, if you're looking at the list here, Sam, the Athens-Clark County Police Department also confirmed that Ibarra had been cited for shoplifting in the Athens-Clark County on October 27th of 2023. So here we go. This is, he crosses in 2022, right? So detained, then paroled, like come back for your court date, right? And then 2023, September of 2023, he's in New York. He gets popped in New York, but they don't hold him then. So there's a second chance to hold him. Then he's out. And then Athens Clark County Police Department says on October 27th, so from September to October, he goes from New York down to Athens, Georgia. And he's, October 27th, 2023, had an outstanding bench warrant in the county for failing to appear in court on the shoplifting charges. So there's the lineup here. Oh, and then, this came out, I think, yesterday. Ibarra's brother, Diego, was charged Friday with possessing a fraudulent green card and being held in state custody. Federal arrest of Diego Ibarra says that in September of 2023, Athens-Clark County Police charged him with drunken driving and driving without a license, later cited for shoplifting, and later skipped court, because why not? So, there's the update on that story. Do we have time to? I mean, by the way, Yaffe's going to join us a little bit later on in the show. This story here, and I heard Jeff mention it, and of course he would, as he's the editor there at 1819 News. But this one is interesting. A story from Bradley Cox. And I want to play this. I think there's some language in here that's probably not appropriate for church, but I think y'all can handle it. It's a person who also used to be on my show with some regularity. And it's interesting. I heard that he was asking what was wrong with me, why I didn't have him on the show anymore. And it really all kind of boiled down to conversations around the bridge. And I'm talking about Bill Britt. So Bill and Susan Britt at Alabama Political Reporter. Bill used to be on, and Susan would be on sometime. They were on my show, I'd say monthly maybe. But it's been years and years, years ago. And during the discussion of the bridge and our pushback on tolls, their TV show and their website really would impugn anybody who dared question the tolls for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. If y'all remember that story a little bit? So that's Bill Britt. And so it came back up in the news this week. So Matt Simpson, Representative Matt Simpson, remember he came on the show last week, I think a week ago Monday, and was on to talk about the ethics bill that he's pushing in the legislature. Then I had Rob Holbert from Lanyap came on and talked a little bit about it. And there's some questions about what's in this bill, what changes out there. But I think the fact that they're addressing this ethics bill in Alabama, I think is a good thing. It's a good thing. And Representative Simpson pushing for some of these changes, and we talked about them. You can go back and check out the podcast of our conversation and the different things in this bill. So the story from 1819 today, this comes from Bradley Cox at 1819. It said, on Monday, Alabama political reporters APR Bill Britt published a piece claiming to, quote, fact check State Representative Matt Simpson's claims on the Alabama ethics law. Okay, so the op-ed comes out. And then this is, I think, what was discussed yesterday on Jeff's show, that Representative Simpson immediately responded to the piece on Twitter, calling it verifiably false article and demanding an apology from Alabama political reporter and Bill Britt. And they've got an inset here of the tweet about that. Then Alabama political reporter immediately removed the article from their website, and due to it being up for such a short time period, the piece was not archived, which is, you know, what we've talked about before, the Wayback Machine. So if the thing stays online long enough, even if you delete it, there's a record of it. All right, so it said APR immediately removed the article from their website due to it being up for a short time period. The piece was not archived. The far left wing site also deleted a tweet linking to the article. I don't know if you can call APR a lot of things. I don't know if its job is being far left, but it just depends on the administration that's in Montgomery and what kind of site it is. Then they write here, a closer examination of his statements reveals a series of inaccuracies and misleading assertions. So the best thing is, let's go to the audio here. So here's what happens, and we'll play this and we'll go to the news. Come back. Our buddy John Sharp is going to join us here in a little bit. This audio is posted up and also a transcript over at 1819 News. And this is, once again, there's not church-worthy conversation in here, but I think y'all can handle the word that is in here. I think you can handle it. I think it's okay. This is a call. This is a recorded phone call. So Bradley Cox from 1819 News calls Bill Britt to ask him about the op-ed that was put up and then deleted, right? So that this op-ed was put up, the one that Matt Simpson, representative, responded to, and then all of a sudden it's gone. It's gone so quickly that it doesn't even make it into the Wayback Machine. Here's the phone call. So this is the reporter from 1819 News calling Bill Britt from Alabama Political Reporter. Let's go cut one.
How are you doing today?
I'm okay. What can I do for you?
I was just wanted to see if we could chat about the op-ed that you guys put up about Representative Simpson's bill, and see if you would give me a statement on why y'all pulled down the op-ed and what issues you guys have with the bill.
There was no op-ed.
Well, there was one published, and he called it out on Twitter, and then it was removed.
No, there was an op-ed.
What?
You obviously don't know what you're talking about, which I'm not shocked. But Bradley, there was no op-ed. There was a piece that I wrote this morning, and quite frankly, it's none of your business why I took it down or what I did.
I mean, do you retract whatever was in there and apologize to Matt?
Are you an idiot? Did you not just hear what I said? And you can quote me on that, because that you are probably an idiot. I have not apologized for anything, and I am not. I didn't. It's none of your business what I publish and don't publish. I know that you have to answer to your taskmasters and those people that those anonymous donors that supply y'all with copious amounts of money, but I don't. So, Bradley, take your phony ass news and shove it up your backside.
So there you go. a little bit of the behind the scenes from media sources in the state of Alabama. So there you go. Pretty interesting. Maybe we get Representative Simpson back on his home Friday, get him on the show to talk about that as well. Or maybe I'll even get commentary from another journalist. My buddy John Sharp joins us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. This segment of the show brought to you by Adventure Earth Bicycles. My man Clint at Adventure Earth Bicycles has a, and I talk about the e-bikes a bunch because that's what got me back into riding bicycles here in my 50s. And I love it. So I have an off-road e-bike. It's you know, the wider tires, heavier suspension. It's the Scout from Magnum. I got great range. It's really cool. Use it around the farm. Use it on a lot of dirt roads, gravel roads, those kind of things. And I actually run it in an eco mode. This is something we've talked about before. Like, I get more exercise because of an e-bike. And I know it seems counterintuitive, but here's the reality. If it was not an e-bike, I wouldn't ride it as much and as far, and I wouldn't get the exercise. With the e-bike, I have it in a, it's called eco mode. It just kicks in. I think when it falls below like 7.5 miles an hour, it kicks in a little bit of boost. So you're going up a hill, you're on a soft sand road or something like that. It kicks in and just keeps the ride fun. Therefore, you ride more often, you ride longer distances, you get more exercise versus it being somewhere you put dirty clothes and let them hang, right? On the bicycle, you actually ride it and ride it a lot more. And the e-bike, that's how I use it. And I use it to get around the farm. But so many people I talk to use it for, like if they have RVs and campers, they take it with them when they get to wherever they're going for the weekend. They use those e-bikes to go get groceries because you can put panniers and all kind of different baskets on them to carry stuff in. So you go get groceries with them, go out to eat, go get supplies, whatever with them. Also, folks are using them. I know I talked to one of my buddies using it to keep up with his daughter who runs cross country so he can get out there and watch her on her route. In addition, I talked to somebody that was using it to commute to work one way with electric and back without electric. In other words, you know, was riding to work and said, listen, you can't ride to work and pedal in Mobile, Alabama and not be a sweaty mess when you get to work, but you can ride it with full electric and then coming back from work, riding as a regular bike because keeps shorts and a t-shirt at work and gets exercise going back to the house. So pretty cool stuff there. But the a big selection, 50 at any point of e-bikes ready for you to take a test ride on at Adventure Earth Bicycles. But in addition, 400 of the non-e-bikes in stock at any time. And plus they do all the repairs, the tuning, everything. So if you just want to get your bikes ready for this riding season, go check them out. Or you're looking for your next bike, go see my man Clint. He and I have known each other for a long time. That means we're both old, Clint. Go see him at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of across from Ruth's Chris, or check him out online, adventure-earth.com. All right, without further ado, he's a fan favorite around here and favorite of mine as well. Michael Yaffe of The Yaffe Show joining us. Hey, man.
Hey, you're so nice to me. I like it. You know, I work with Dale Jackson, who, you know, isn't always so nice to me. So it's, you know,
it all works. It works this way because you're worthy of it. Now, Dale and I, you've been around Dale and I. When we're together, we constantly cut each other down, right? That's because that's the relationship between he and I. That's fine. I enjoy that. That's not how you and I roll. So it's okay. It's okay. Like, you need to have a respite from having to deal with Dale all the time. I get it.
No, Dale's awesome, but I appreciate coming on.
See, the thing that sets Dale on his heels here with me is I will say something crazier than he will. That's what he's not used to.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a high bar to jump. For the fact that you can jump that bar is impressive.
Yeah, I don't always flex it, but when I need to, I can flex it. All right. lots to talk about. Let's talk about some national stories, first of all. And I have not talked about this yet since the show started, but it was, and I did not watch it. I am not somebody who, like, when somebody tells me this real bad thing is about to happen, I don't have to watch the whole video to know, but I did watch enough of the video with this guy that self-immolated in front of the Israeli embassy, this airman, listened to him talk before he did it. I mean, it's a terrible story, but it seems to have, like, in mainstream media, like, be some deciding event on the war in Gaza more than it is a story about the mental health of this poor person who did it.
This story is really depressing. One, it wasn't something I searched for either, the video. It just kind of popped up on my social media.
Right.
We're living in that world where that kind of stuff just pops up. So that's one issue. But the way the mainstream media has reacted to this, so many stories now, you have the story itself, which is awful. And then you have the mainstream media reaction to it, which is also awful.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Time magazine article where they compared Christians who got martyred to this guy. Like, it's like the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. This guy was nuts and should not have killed himself.
Right. And instead of it being, you know, a discussion of, a sad discussion of somebody's mental health that would do this, it does. It goes
right
into a bigger, like that self-immolation. That was horrible. And I'm glad where I got it from, they said, okay, we're going to stop it here before it actually happens, because I don't need to see that. I've seen the, you know, seen pictures of this before. I don't need to see it again. But it goes on to being like some watershed moment for decision on Israel's war in Gaza. You know, like that one thing, instead of being like, gosh, this person, what were they going through that would do this? It's like, well, this makes sense that this situation, you know, in Gaza is big enough that this airman decides he's going to do this. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like the airman made the decision on the validity of Israel's response.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that he's basically being used as a tool by these radical leftists to promote their agenda that, oh, Israel is committing genocide. None of that is true. And it's sad that they think they can use this real tragic situation of a guy who was obviously mentally disturbed as a tool to their own agenda. I mean, there's just a sickness to that, I think.
I mean, this is, okay, it is a sickness. If you turned it around, and once again, maybe it makes me different from some of the people in this business. I feel for that person and their family, what was going on that has somebody do something
right. So
horrible. But what if somebody who was a Trump supporter, right, went out and said, because of all these lawsuits and all these, you know, these judgments against Trump and the way the machine's working against Trump, they're going to self-immolate because of what's happening against Trump. And please, God forbid, nobody do this. But what would be the media spin on that? They would say, look at how disturbed this person is. They wouldn't say, well, that's a judgment on the fact that Trump is really getting a raw deal.
Yeah, I can guarantee you that Cornel West,
right,
who's praising this guy as some kind of mock martyr, would not be praising a Trump supporter who did something crazy like this.
Right. I mean, the
consistency would not be there. But all I can tell you is I would be consistent. I don't care who it is. This is not good. It's not something you should do, period. End of story.
Well said. Also, let's talk back here in Alabama. Although this is an Alabama story, it's a Mobile story, but it's a national story for sure. This discussion of IVF, it comes from a decision right here in Mobile, but it goes to a state level with Alabama's abortion law, but it goes to a bigger discussion, you know, on national media. They seem to be running with this early and often.
Well, they smell blood in the water. They see this as an example to show how extreme the right is when it comes to abortion. Of course, really, in the big scheme of things, that makes no sense, because all the Republicans basically agree with Democrats. This is one of those issues where most of us basically agree that, we need to protect IVF. But because they want to spin it for politics, they're dividing us. But overall, it's really not an issue. Maybe it's an issue with this one judge, but it's going to be taken care of in, like, a couple of weeks. It's like we're fighting about something that, why are we fighting? We all agree.
The interesting part, I know in the broader discussion, this may not be as important, but something I focused on yesterday, though, is kind of just holding people to account, and I don't care what letters behind, you know, their name. If you are a Republican, if anybody who signed on with Alabama's abortion law, right, that was passed, 2018, if you signed that and you said, well, you know, I'll sign on to this because it's not, you know, we're not going to have a decision that's going to fall in the state's favor on the Dobbs decision, so I'm going to sign this so I can kind of have my cake and eat it too, right? I could say that, look at this, I'm for the strongest thing out here for abortion law, but knowing that it won't happen, so it won't have the real world consequences. And now you're like, oh, well, we do need to make an exception for this, that, or the other. I do have to ask, you know, did you really believe that you were signing on something that would never happen? And if so, why'd you sign on for it? Or are you now not telling us truthfully what you believe, right? I mean, it's like if you do that, if you sign on to a bill, even if you're told like something like this is never going to go through, it's got your name on it, man. So I don't know why you're spinning it now where, you know, okay, well, we do need to have these exceptions.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. It was obvious at the time that the reason why the bill existed was to get it to the court so eventually Roe v. Wade would be overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, I mean, I guess happens to another state more likely, it seems like. But, yeah, I mean, that's basically what happened. So that goal was set. But, you know, going back to why they signed this bill, there might need to be exceptions. I don't think even those who supported this bill even thought about IVF as something or a frozen embryo.
Fair.
You know, as something. So, like, it's interesting because that's one of the arguments that has been brought up, that we're supposed to, as conservatives, you're supposed to be originalist judges. Well, I don't think the original intent of either of the laws being used here was this includes frozen embryos, and if they're damaged somehow, that's wrongful death. So there's kind of that angle, too, if you look at it legally as well.
It is interesting. It's a, you know, something that's a civil tort, right, that becomes this bigger question out here with the law. And you wonder, I asked this yesterday too, like if how long it would have happened before this challenge could have come up. You know, they didn't see this situation. I mean, we have a situation here at a hospital where somebody who's not supposed to be gets access in there and destroy, like that moved this whole discussion forward. But if that horrible thing wouldn't have happened, how long before this would have been questioned or how? I don't know. It's just a weird way to get into this discussion. You know, something that's like a civil lawsuit, you know, that then drives something that's a bigger constitutional question.
Yeah, and it's because they really wanted to find a way to win the case. Yeah, mm-hmm. It turned into something that I don't think most people expected.
What do you think they pass? You know, I know that Trump called on the Alabama legislature to do something, so you know, Big Daddy called. So what do you see? What do you think they come up with? What do you think the fix is?
Well, I guess the fix would be to clarify the law to say that frozen embryos and IVF are not included in this. There are some who suggest that we would need a constitutional amendment to actually do that. I'm not so sure about that. I would need to talk to a legal expert on that. But, I mean, it seems like Democrats, Republicans, everybody wants to make sure there's a law in place that prevents, you know, IVF being included when it comes to abortion.
I mean, we'll say, though, there are some folks out there in the Catholic Church, though, that say that it should be this way because they're not, you know, they don't support IVF.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I think they're in the minority, though, I would say. I don't really see that. There are definitely some that believe that. You're exactly right. But I think in 2024, even in Alabama, that's probably the minority view. But most of this really has to do with, like you said, most of it really has to do with Democrats pouncing. You know, we always see stories about how Republicans pounce. Republicans pounce on this issue. This is an example where Democrats see something they can pounce on to use against Republicans. I mean, that's what's going on here.
All right. Also in Montgomery. So what's your take, man? Have you had it fast track the fast pass for gambling out of the House? Right. Then it goes through process, goes in the Senate. Is it done there or what changes can be made? I mean, what are you hearing?
I mean, I'm kind of surprised it got this far so quickly. But from what I understand, the vote's just on there in the Senate to pass it. And it's just one of those things. It's the same issue. there are so many different interests involved, and none of them really want to lose something. A lot of them would just prefer to keep the status quo, or if it does pass, to get some kind of major benefit to it. And you can't make everyone happy, so you don't get a bill.
Yeah,
if you're talking about what would make the majority of people in the state happy, it would be just let the Port Street do what they want and pass a lottery. But in terms of what would make the majority of the lawmakers happy, that's harder to get. It's harder to get to.
Maybe what they do is, because it was a couple of years ago, came out of the Senate, and Senate Pro Tem Del Marsh at that time pushed this bill. So it moved quickly through the Senate, didn't do anything in the House. Now it moves quickly through the House and doesn't do anything in the Senate. Maybe they just swap off year to year. All right, this year it's the House's turn, and they get to all say, well, we did it. We did everything right. We could do. When they go campaign, they said, we pushed the bill, and I voted for this and that and the other. And knowing that the Senate won't let it get through. And then the next year, the Senate gets to do that. So they have that on their scorecard. But the House stops it. And then everybody gets to, say, listen, I've tried everything I can. Mr. or Mrs. Constituent, I've tried everything I can. And who knows what happens. Those dastardly senators or representatives.
I've said for a while, I'm going to be on Alabama radio 30 years from now. And this will be the topic coming up during the session. Will they pass gambling this year? I'll be retiring that day and still talking about this, it feels like.
And I wish I could tell you, if you're out of control, but I think you're probably right. You're probably right.
I'm not even going out and learn that much with this topic, it seems like.
That's for sure. Tell folks how to get your radio show, also your writing. Where do they find you?
You can listen to The Yaffe Program anywhere podcasts are available. Just Google The Yaffe Program Podcast. I write for YellowhammerNews.com every day. Check that out. Or follow me on X at Yaffe or like The Yaffe Facebook page.
Always fun, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
There he goes. Michael Yaffe, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 155 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, Tuesday style. By the way, the dog with the box on his head has been caught. D-box, doesn't have the box on his head. Now waiting, I think, at the Abogo Animal Shelter, and they'll adopt him out. I'm just saying, by the way, welcome to Midday Mobile. I'm Sean. I would just say that if I was in TV, if I was a news director, I would admit to this, but I would have one of the young kid reporters that look like they're like 16, 17 years old. I'd say, listen, here's what you got to do. Let's go find us another dog. And let's get us, a lightly fitting cardboard box and put it on the dog's head and leave the front open, cut it out so the dog can eat and drink and all that, and then let it go. It'll be good for the ratings out there. That's just an idea I have. All right, to the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106. Tim says, Sean, you and I both know how you can stop somebody from misquoting you. How do you do that? In afterwards, you can go through the legal method and all that stuff, but when it happens, people do it, and then you have to go through a retraction process, right? Sean in Baldwin County, I wouldn't believe Bill Britt if he said good morning. How does anyone take the V seriously having Josh Moon on there? I'm like Jeff, although Jeff spends, I don't know Josh. Jeff does. I don't know Josh. But on certain things, I think he's an honest arbiter of them, even like gambling in the state. But other things, yeah, he's... And listen, just being left on something is not... You've listened to my show for long enough. That doesn't have a... I don't have a problem with that. That's fun. That's debate. But if you're lying about stuff, yeah, I'm not... I don't know if we can get... If Josh does much... I don't know if Josh does much of that. But the stuff that they all did on the V, like kind of attacking those of us that were... just questioning the toll on the bridge. I think that was pretty rough there. I mean, they didn't even just kind of nudge it. They would say things. I'm like, that's not true. Quit. And Jerry said, did I just hear an advertisement? Yeah, you did. Okay, did I just hear an advertisement? From, we got to get the name right, about the expansion of Medicaid because with the cancer department. Yeah, that's running right now. That's going to be, that's interesting because you know that's being discussed in Montgomery. So Jerry said, did I just hear an advertisement for the Cancer Association telling us to call the governor for Medicaid expansion? Yeah, I don't know which, I need to go back and listen, Jerry, what group it is. Sometimes groups will have a name that sounds a lot like another group's name. And let's make sure we get the right name. But yes, Jerry, I heard the same spot. Yep, absolutely. I heard it. All right, Paul Feinbaum show on the way. We'll do this again tomorrow. Show's on the road. We ate. What's up, Spanish Fork? We're going to be at Ed's tomorrow from noon to 1 with this show and from 1 to 2 with the Scuttlebutt Radio Network. So come out and join us tomorrow in Spanish Fork. It'll be fun. See you then.